Hello, everybody, and welcome. Happy spring. It's almost time for all of those beautiful flowers to sprout right up. I'm calling in today from sunny Calgary, Alberta. I have a beautiful guest on the line with me joining in just a moment. And just to refresh, if you're new to the Words, Women and Wisdom show, this show is all about showcasing amazing women who've risen from tragedy to triumph, or confidence to chaos. Sorry, chaos to confidence. This is live, so anything can happen. And really to help understand, you know, if you're in the process right now of going through a little bit of a dip in your life, there is hope at the other end. There are some amazing, amazing stories that are showcased on the Words, Women and Wisdom show. And I'm your host, Yvonne E.L. Silva. Joining me today is a powerful healer and professional phoenix, Christine Powers. Christine, welcome.
Hi, Yvonne. Thank you.
So today we have a special interview, and we actually entitled it Dragon Song and Fireweed. And it's intriguing, I have to say. Christine, if you've never heard of Christine before, Christine teaches in her transformational work an art. There's an art she shares to dying ourselves over and over again, and in her transformational work through the philosopher's compass, she actually helps with some incredible healings. So Christine is a gifted voice beyond singing. She's a spiritual mentor. She writes poetry and philosophical musings. She teaches on topics such as authenticity and the power of our voice, which is in total alignment with my book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. And she takes it further. She takes it to the spirituality of sound and sound healing from the inside out. Sound journeys, you're going to hear more about those. And the principles of energy, as well as looking at deep healing concepts, forgiveness, spiritual volunteerism, abundance, relationships, the spiritual path. And she serves as an energy healer. She's a certified Reiki master and teacher as well, initiated in many other frequencies, and currently completing a certification for Magdalena Energy Practitioner, which that's a new one for me. I'll have to find out a little bit more about that, because that's a new one. So Christine is also, she's a world-class soprano and inspirational leader. Her focus is really about amplifying the amplifiers. So those of us who are on the front lines of humanity and empowering others to lead further and deeper, and does some beautiful work, which I'm sure she will tell us a little bit about, from her refuge for deep healing in the Adirondack Mountains of New York. So that center is about rejuvenation. It's about co-creation. It's about learning. Working with her as a master energy worker and intuitive. And she has an amazing voice. I saw Christine sing at a summit in January, the Evolutionary Business Summit, as a special guest for the awards ceremony. And oh my gosh, I got goosebumps and I was standing at the back of the room. Christine, it's lovely to have you here.
It's great to be here. I'm in awe listening to that, wondering who that person is.
Well, I was lucky enough to connect with you. I've been on several other calls with you since, as we've both deepened our work together. And yeah. I'm just thrilled that you were able to join today, because you have an incredible story. And I know that you started your life, you had, what was it you referred to as? The expected life as an executive. And then you broke away from that And there's a story of tragedy to triumph in there. So tell me a little bit more about how your current work got started and what was that transition that you made with the tragedy moment in the middle?
Yeah. Well, my whole life is really about discovery of who I am and really what living is all about. And I've spent most of it really either trying to sort through who I was told I should be, the expectations of our, you know, family, our communities, our culture, our schooling, all those things. And then these deep stirrings and yearnings and knowings, to be honest, that took me many years to listen to those more, right, the internal wisdom than the external wisdom. And I would say that, you know, I had a really profound awakening at 30. And so this is, you know, this is something that happens over and over, and then again at 40. And most recently, I think what you're referring to is that I left my corporate world about 10 years ago, and that was huge. I was a high-level executive with the American Red Cross in, you know, a rising star nationally in the U.S., and there, really, I got hit with a cosmic 2x4 by the universe. We don't need to go into it, but that really began this powerful catapulting away from all those expectations. Because what happened is I took all of my professional skills and I came out of the closet, if you will, as a spiritual leader and luminary. And it took so much courage. And so that's like piece by piece, layer upon layer. And about 3 years ago, we live in Albany. We lived in Albany, New York. So imagine New York City and Montreal and draw a vertical line. And Albany is, you know, a little bit north of New York. And now I live even further toward Montreal in the mountains. But we had a little tiny shack deep in the mountains. And then we had a big suburban home outside of Albany. And I remember very vividly coming to the realization through some deep conversations with some of my colleagues and friends that even though I held myself out inspirationally to be a model, right, of what an authentic full life is, I really wasn't taking that many risks. I was living a very comfortable, soft life, and it was killing me. It was actually killing me. So even though I had made all these strides, I had opened, proclaimed fully and owned that, yeah, I am an energy healer. And I do serve in that role, by the way. None of us are actually healers. We serve as conduits. And so 3 years ago, made this very powerful decision to leave what I knew my whole life as part of this continuing professional phoenix, you know, dying to myself over and over, and gave up the persona of an upper middle class suburban life. And we sold everything, and it was very fast, and we didn't really have time to prepare because our house sold so quickly. And in the process of moving from the Albany area up to the mountains, we took the contents of my business, which is, you know, I had a lot of computers, I had a very big library, you know, just furniture, all those things. And my husband owned at the time a construction business and had a big warehouse. So we took the contents of my business, we took the contents of our entire 3,500 square foot home, and we put it in his warehouse because we just had to sort what we were going to do. So in the middle of this celebration time, my son was graduating middle school. Summer was upon us. Life was grand. We had, you know, cash in our pockets. We had sold our house. Life was great. I watched one evening after my husband got a phone call, the entire warehouse was burning in a catastrophic historic fire. And I literally watched Yeah, I watched my life burn on the cable news network.
Oh my gosh.
We were miles and miles and miles from the fire, but if you looked in the sky, you could see the plumes of smoke, and, you know, all the stories came in later. You know, my sister and her family were driving by the highway going, oh my God, I wonder who those poor people are, you know, that kind of thing. And so I really shed that life. And that was the beauty of that. I mean, it was catastrophic. It was horrific. It was radical. But the beauty was that there was no portal ever to go back to my former life. There was nothing left to go back to. So,
wow.
Yeah, so that was the, you know, this was the catastrophe, the tragedy. And yet, there's so many gifts that came from it, Yvonne, so many gifts. But that really was, that was a big moment for the professional phoenix.
Yeah, wow. And I think it's really interesting how we get guided. So today we're talking about your tragedy and the beautiful opening that created right after we had the news yesterday with the Notre Dame Cathedral burning. And I was actually in Paris about maybe 9 years ago. And we walked through that cathedral. And I, you know me, I'm a little bold and cheeky. I saw the length of the lineup going in, and there wasn't 13,000. I mean, they said there was 13,000 people go through there every day. It wasn't quite that long, but I'm not one for waiting in lines. And so I said to my husband, here, let's just go in through the exit, because I don't think there was actually a fee to go in anyways, unless you got the headphones and things. So we went in through the exit, and we were in and out probably before most people in the lineup were done. But what a beautiful, beautiful building. So I'm intrigued to see what happens after this. And I'm more intrigued right now to learn what happened after your phoenix, you know, had an opportunity to rise from those ashes. So what happened next? Mm-hmm.
So what happened next was pretty interesting. The first thing is that you go into a state of really where everything is surreal. And what's fascinating also is, you know, spiritually at the time I had the flu. And so I had 102 fever and I was very, very, very ill. And I just wonder about that quite frequently, but I went down the next morning at dawn, and my husband was out all night, of course, and, you know, friends were showing up in the middle of the night, family, and, you know, there was really nothing to be done. And I got in the vehicle and I drove by myself at dawn, and I wasn't supposed to be there. You know, it was very toxic, and there were police lines, and there were fire companies still putting out the fire. And I kneeled down. This is like, I kneeled down and I wailed to the universe. I wailed with everything I had. You know, I call it my wailing wall of Jerusalem. And and I cried and I cried, and I never looked back. You know, I never looked back. And I have over time grieved the things that had meaning, but the gifts were so profound. The first is that I felt grace. I literally held, you know, knew that I was being held in grace. My family was being held in grace. The love and outpouring of that came from around the country, around the world, from friends, from family, from people I didn't know, was a profound lesson in being worthy and being able to receive. You know, it's really easy when we are always serving others and when we're, you know, a leader to serve and serve, but it's not always easy for us to receive. It can be very foreign. So that was a very profound opening. And then there were things like the fact that life had broken all the rules. right? I mean, everything I had was just suddenly ripped away. And so there was no box for me to play in anymore. And when I've scanned the horizon of my life, all I could see was potential. And so there was this incredible blank slate. And there was this freedom, freedom from stuff, freedom from history, freedom from the past in so many ways. And it was one of the lightest periods of my life. And so that can't be understated. And then I think the way that people show up to support you isn't always about supporting you. As a spiritual teacher, one of the things that I noticed and paid attention to is a lot of people, not a lot, but some of the people who showed up to help were actually projecting onto us their stuff, their issues, their needs. And we developed powerful boundaries. And you wouldn't think of this as being very obvious, Yvonne, and I really want your listeners to understand. It's like we develop powerful boundaries to say no with grace.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot of times it had nothing to do with us, had nothing to do with us. And that was a really big lesson and gift as well, because that creating more powerful boundaries is something that has served me much, much better as I've gone along.
Yeah.
So we started over.
Would there be an example of something there when you talk about that being a really powerful concept? I mean, I referenced the word note in my book as well.
Yeah.
So what would be an example of that? Something you could share maybe?
Yeah, so an example, a good example is that we were offered furniture, a lot of furniture.
Mm-hmm.
And first of all, we were moving to a much smaller home, and we weren't ready to receive big stuff. We were very discombobulated and going moment by moment, hour by hour. And more than once, there was what came back to us when we declined was an anger, a frustration, but you could tell that the people who had offered felt rebuffed and annoyed, and they didn't understand why we would say no, and they were offended. And then there was one instance where we were offered something and it just didn't suit us. We couldn't handle it. We had nowhere to put it. And in that instance, there was this real sense, one of the lessons I learned is when I give things away now, I give the very best. I give the very best of what I have. Yeah. And there was a fascinating energy coming at us of, well, you should just accept it and be grateful. You know, like we were second-class citizens. It was really, really interesting and very subtle. And again, we were as gracious as possible. It just wasn't anything that we could take into our lives. You know, all this furniture, all these things.
It's so easy.
I hope that's helpful.
Yeah. It's also, I mean, it's so easy to identify with that, with, say a piece of furniture, you know, or it's a birthday and you get a gift and it's something that, you know, just does not resonate with you. And we know, I'm a Reiki practitioner as well, so we know that, you know, objects also have energy, whether it's, you know, crystals or other objects. And so, you know, really do need to be very careful about what we bring into our space. And our home, I mean, if it's filled with things we absolutely love that bring up positive memories every time we look at them and joy, great. Mm. But if it's filled with other people's stuff that has any kind of negative memories around it, it's, you know, that's not necessarily conducive to building a place that is restful and nurturing and home. And totally appreciate as well the other piece about the freedom and the space that's created when we let go of stuff And as a, you know, as a coach myself, you know, certainly one of the first things I always do with my clients is have a conversation around what are you going to make space, how are we going to make space to do our work together? Because if there's no space, it's like looking in your closet and trying to stuff more things in. You need to pare down first, sort out the stuff that really doesn't fit, doesn't suit, doesn't work for you, is broken or needs repair or whatever. Take all that stuff out and then look and see where you actually need to supplement or where you've got room to put in some really great things instead that really do fit and resonate for you. So part of it is about, you know, the space, and part of it is about having those powerful boundaries to say no. So if I'm mentoring, for example, which I do a lot, I chair a lot of mentorship programs, I have to be willing to give the gift of the advice or guidance and then let it go. So it comes with no attachments. They either choose to use it or they don't, but I'm not going to be invested in it.
Yeah, and that speaks directly to probably one of the most powerful gifts, which is radical detachment. That has been a very permanent change in me. You know, I am known now as I'm wearing a piece of jewelry or something or clothing even, and someone says, oh, I really like that. I'm like, here, you know, take it, you know, because it brings me more joy to not be hanging on to things and to let something continue its journey with someone else. But we live much more simply, and we have much less material goods in our life, and we are more about experiences and being out there. And I rarely resonate with what you say about that spaciousness, you know, the spaciousness in your physicality and in your surroundings mirrors the what's available in your psyche, in your energy, in your career, in your business, whatever. They're all very resonant with each other.
Yeah, well, it's spring cleaning time, and I've already put that out there as a concept in one of my recent blog posts. So tell me about how the Philosopher's Camp got started, and a sort of an overview of what that's all about, because you're now doing this transformational work. So was it also connected to living more simply, looking at the land, looking at your leadership skills and how that could connect in this deep experience of being held in grace?
Yeah, they're definitely connected. And I really understand how I needed to be cleaned out so deeply so that I could listen and surrender enough to be willing and open and have the space available to create something like Philosopher's Camp. So let me paint a quick picture for you guys. Right now I'm sitting in my living room and I'm looking at several different mountains and we have snow and I have a stream in the backyard and we have 100 acres in the mountains. And I healed here after the fire. We lived outside in a luxury glamping compound that my husband built, and God bless him because he's a contractor, and so he was able to do miracles. But I lived in a tent for 3 months, and it was one of the most joyous times of my life. And being on the land and being outside every day and tending to the care of my family as everything I focused on was exactly what I needed to do. So what evolved from that is fusing that with being a spiritual teacher, knowing my own journey, knowing the journey of others, and being blessed to hang out with people who are awake and on the front lines of humanity and pushing consciousness forward, whether they're a transformational leader like yourself, an author. You know, it's important for all of us that we rejuvenate and restore our soul, and we restore our bodies and our minds. And nature is the most natural place to do that. And the inner climate will reflect the outer climate and vice versa. And so when we come into balance and harmony and explore the wilderness within by being in the wilderness around us, we come into a profound place of remembering our divinity, our wisdom, our creativity, our resilience, our strength. And so the Philosopher's Camp is a retreat setting for those who wish to come and rejuvenate and deeply unplug for 5 full days, which is a long time in today's world. And we do just that. We do the work of replenishment, and we cross-pollinate ideas, and we share what's deep in our souls and our hearts. And the gifts that are born from that are that the capacity that we have to hold energy, to be energy, you know, this, Yvonne, and your listeners will know that the impact we can make in the world can only expand as far as we can expand.
Yeah.
So you increase this capacity, and you are rejuvenated and restored. And I jokingly say, you know, you're spit back to the front lines because it's a little chaotic out there right now. So this is a safe container to really just bask in the wonder of this planet, the wonder of the mountains and the trees and the rocks and the water and each other, the wisdom and the joy and the beauty of each other. And so that's really what Philosopher's Camp is. And it's gone from 1 pilot program to 5 full camps this summer. Mm. And it's astonishing. And people are coming from all over the world. And I really scratch my head because I don't even understand in many ways how this is all happening, which is perfect. You know, keep my ego out of it, keep my head out of it. And, I just follow what I call the illuminated breadcrumbs. You know, I see what to do next and I do it, you know. And that's very different. That's very different. And I think I've come to a place of enough opening and emptiness and humility. And, I'm the center of Philosopher's Camp, but I'm not the focus of Philosopher's Camp. And yeah. It's birthing through me. And yet all these amazing people are showing up to bring it into manifestation and to anchor it on the planet. So it's really a tribe that's arising mm-hmm. and bringing this forth.
Well, I did take a quick peek at the Philosopher's Camp site earlier on today. And, I mean, certainly you're attracting some amazing people to be joining you as well, adding to your, you know, ability to create sacred and sublime experiences for that accelerated transformation. So, you know, love to see, you know, Daniel Gutierrez is there. One of my colleagues I interviewed just recently, Dorothy Martin Neville, the author of Real Women Change the World. I haven't met Bob Whitman in person. I know of her. So certainly with the focus on really celebrating, you know, the Adirondack Mountains, the history that goes along with that, the nature combined with some of your magical singing and Reiki healing and transformation programming elements. I'm sure it's just delightful. So I haven't been yet. I can't say that, but I know lots of people who have been and highly recommend it. So I know you just have a few more minutes with me, and you had also offered to leave a gift with the listeners as well. So do you have a couple more minutes to just speak to that?
Yes, I do, and I'm really delighted. So it's probably no coincidence, but as part of the alchemy of my service and my joy of what I offer to everyone, I create these musical meditations and guided meditations and sometimes spoken. And so weaving in the energy of the chaos in the world, which, you know, we could have another conversation another time because it's seeming chaos, but it is intense, with this concept of being in the center of the storm, that no matter what's happening around you, you have a strength, you're a pillar of light, you are anchored in just like a pillar, you know, and you're mm-hmm. unshakable. So this meditation actually features storm sounds from all over the world. I went out to the internet and secured all these different sound clips. So there's Hurricane Ophelia from the Isle of Man. There's a thunderstorm from Norway, nature sounds from a Bavarian forest, Superstorm Sandy. So I put all these sounds in this meditation, and then there's music, and then my singing voice and my speaking voice to lead the listener into the calm in the center of the storm. So it's about 21 minutes, and it's deeply restorative. And so it focuses on nature, focuses on ourselves. And the great gift, it's not available publicly. It won't be available publicly. And I just completed it a few weeks ago. So if you go to my website, it's christinepowers.com/women-wisdom.
Mm. And I see it now, Calm in the Storm with Christine Powers. And that sounds just magical. I am so looking forward to playing that. I didn't have a chance this morning to go in and play it, but I'm really looking forward to that as well. So,
well, I'm hearing... Go ahead.
So for those of you who are intrigued, and I'm sure lots of people are intrigued, you can find out more about the work that Christine does at her website, at christinepowers.com. And also the philosopherscamp.com also has quite a bit more about the programs that are coming up there. And, you know, Dragon Song and Fireweed, that's what we called this interview. I mean, Dragon Song, your voice is super powerful. It circles the globe. And Fireweed is you after that fire, resilient, open, flourishing, natural, the first to bloom, and literally rising from the ashes. So it's no wonder that you call yourself a professional phoenix. And I have been just delighted to have you join me and share today. Is there any last words of wisdom that you wanted to leave with the listeners?
What comes to mind, and I always go with what just first comes to mind, is that the greatest gift that each of us can give to the world is the self-permission to be who we are. And remember that when things like tragedies and catastrophes and challenges come our way, they're really nothing more than gifts in very strange wrapping paper to awaken us to awaken us to who we really are. They're radical and potent opportunities to rise again into who you are and to rebirth yourself like the phoenix. So that's what I'd love to leave with everyone.
Mm, what a beautiful gift. Lovely. Now, I would love if you had extra minutes to stay on. I think you're booked on something else already, though, so I'm happy to continue on with the show and focus on a couple more elements that really tie into some of the things that you've shared today, talking about intentional energy, talking about the concept of being enough, and also about receiving. So I think that is a nice tie-in to some of the elements that you shared. So thank you for the gift of your wisdom, your time, and your story today. So powerful, because I've very often said myself as well that, you know, if life is not full of these peaks and valleys, then it's just this flat line. It's just blah. Mm. It's boring. Mm. And so recognizing when that freight train is coming and is, you know, is a powerful gift of insight, but really that wailing, that total surrender is what really opens us up to magical things. And it certainly sounds like you're living a much more in tune and mystical lifestyle now. And not only that, but sharing your beauty and your wisdom with others as well. So thank you for the work that you're doing, Christine. Powerful stuff.
Oh, it's my pleasure. I've been really delighted to be with you and all your listeners today. Thank you, Yvonne. Thank you.
Thank you, Christine. I will be back in touch for another conversation separately, and have a wonderful week. Enjoy the spring cleaning energy, and we'll carry on with the show. And thank you for your time.
All right. Goodbye, everyone.
Take care. What an amazing journey to share. So can you imagine losing everything, all of your possessions, just everything in a fire, and having to start over? It really does demonstrate this concept of having massive amounts of space to do amazing transformational work. And I know that, you know, some of the listeners are already engaged in the space of being transformational leaders, and some of our listeners are sitting probably at their desk at lunchtime listening to this and wondering, what's next for me? So I'm just going to take a short break for a moment and introduce the, if you haven't heard of my book, Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. It's a book that was released last November, Amazon. It was posted on Amazon November 1st. November 2nd, I was delighted to see that it had already hit bestseller status early that morning in two categories, the category of self-help success and also in the category of success. So I think it's number 20 in one and 92 in the other, which was thrilling. And that was partly due as well to a number of people waiting for it after speaking at a number of events last year. There was quite an audience waiting for it, and some had pre-ordered the book as well. And also through the collaboration of my colleagues at the Evolutionary Business Council, which is a global group of transformational leaders, which is where I met Christine. So Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. Just going to run the introductory video that, well, you won't be able to see the video, but you'll be able to hear it, that was put together to talk a little bit more about what this book's about and how it came about. So enjoy.
Ladies, a new book is on the horizon. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations. This new book is for women ready to rediscover their inner confidence, take a stand for themselves in life and business by using more powerful language. Words are so powerful and already changed history. On October 5th, the New York Times published a story detailing decades of allegations of sexual harassment against film producer Harvey Weinstein. And numerous women in the entertainment industry found the courage to go public, banding together with a powerful voice that change is long overdue. Even Oprah Winfrey, television network icon, gave a rousing speech at the Golden Globe Awards in January. The media has showcased the Time's Up Legal Defense Fund. The Me Too movement is flourishing and all signaling it's time for women's equality and change. I believe it's time to give women the verbal agility to create more confident conversations. Words, Women, and Wisdom, The Modern Art of Confident Conversations is the book which provides practical approaches for women to ask for what we really want and receive our request.
Hello, I'm Yvonne Silver, certified executive coach and senior HR professional, seasoned in business. I teach women to flourish in business by using more confident language to help empower and engage others. This book is the result of over 35 years of my career, professional career, working in four different countries. I've interviewed over 6,000 people in my career for job interviews, executive coaching, for sales and consulting conversations. And I've listened to hundreds of women in particular who are looking for a better way to collaborate. They're looking to be asking for what they really want and heard and validated, especially in business. And women often earn less than men for doing exactly the same job. It's 2018. It's time for change.
The Modern Art of Confident Conversations explores words we use at home, at work, words that trip us up, elevate us and encourage us, and when no words are even required. It is about how to leverage the power of words in a positive, in a collaborative and impactful way. Now I work with women entrepreneurs and leaders who are empowering other women and leading through mentorship programs and my coaching, public speaking, interviews, and writing. I'm passionate about women's equality. Why? I grew up in England in a house with a flow of negative comments from my father, which destroyed my mum's dignity until she became an empty shell of the vibrant woman she had once been, belittled by constant criticism and questioning of her abilities. Through my own life journey and supporting hundreds of female clients, I've discovered critical words to ask to get what we really want collaboratively. I know there are critical links between our language, our behavior, our mindset, and our success in life. Words from a song can replay in our head for hours, and poetry can bring a lump in our throats. I've combined my insights with interviews from influential women, sharing their pearls of wisdom, supplemented with research and reference studies from established scholars. Women are rising up. It's time for women to be heard. Let's use more powerful, positive language and join the rising tide of change. This book is for you, a woman looking to the future, ready to embrace significant positive changes in your life by using more confident language. Eliminate those words that drain your power, add words that energize and invigorate, and shift from ordinary to extraordinary. Just one word can change your life. I believe every woman needs their own copy of this powerful book. It's time for action and time for change. Order and reserve your own copy of Words, Women, and Wisdom today.
So Words, Women, and Wisdom, yeah, it's been so well received. I'm delighted to see it popping up as book club reads, as an opportunity for doing some interesting book readings at various events. And my commitment with the book, because I love the concept of social enterprise, is for each book sold that I will be donating one for each one sold to a women's foundation, shelter, or not-for-profit. And it's been delightful over the past few months to be in front of in various audiences or meeting with leaders for women's foundations, not-for-profits, and giving a stack of books away and knowing that those books are going to women who really need a boost in their confidence. The intention of the book was to help women elevate their confidence, master their confidence, refine their authentic voice. And so for my own work, I mean, I am what I call a confidence catalyst, teaching women, leaders and entrepreneurs, women professionals to flourish in business. And it is about mastering their confidence, refining. It's not about finding so much as refining their authentic voice. And ultimately, then they can have more sales, they can grow their team. And really, it's about having a sustainable business that's fun. Because when I first opened the door to my business 10 years ago, I had a lot of women who were coming to me because their business wasn't working. It had something that was just not flowing, and they were now a slave to the business. So how to turn that around? We had some really interesting conversations. And so much of that is, if you have the right team in place, if you have the right systems in place, then you're able to actually take that vacation without worrying about service delivery and high quality occurring in your absence for your clients. So it really is about having a sustainable business that's fun. So professionally, if we haven't met in person, I am a speaker, women's coach, obviously, HR consultant and mentorship chair, as well as a best-selling author, this radio show, the Words Women and Radio Show, which I started last summer, and a wife and mother with over 25 years of experience in eight high-growth startups, holding senior corporate roles of a founder, of VP, of HR director. So it's really about, for me now,
helping to strengthen women leaders. And this year as well, looking to extend the work that's been done in the book, which is helping women to have more confidence. Although I was thinking the other day, it's almost like when you have an illness. So someone is sick, you go to the hospital, you get well, and then you go back into a sick environment and all those germs populate and you get sick again really quickly. I think it could be like that for some of the women who are reading the book, where they're gaining these confidence skills and they're not necessarily being received well in their work environment. So I'm starting to do a little bit more work later this year around building feminine workplace cultures, which really support women's growth. And as you know, I'm a staunch advocate for pay equity. So that's more to come. So the Words of Women and Wisdom book, that whole brand started to bubble up, and Women and Wisdom Media, you might also now see as part of the work I'm doing in education with the book, with speaking, and with the radio show. So enough about me. Let's go on to some more content in our last 10 minutes or so here. So just want to share a few things that connect to what Christine was sharing around this whole topic of space and tapping into your flow. So this is actually from the book. It's a section on when no words are required. So this is about intentional energy. So the momentum arising from being inspired has a very different energy to if you're pushing or if you're striving. So push energy is an energy which creates unnecessary resistance rather than finding your flow and the purposeful things that are working well for you and choosing to do more of those. Pushing is often what causes resistance, and also often in a sales scenario causes objections from others rather than an intention to invite someone into conversation, invite them into a relationship with you. So that energy of positive intention and collaboration and serving rather than selling is actually shared in your body language and in your energetic resonance even before you speak. So when Christine talks about the magic of nature and getting replenished, it really is about your whole body absorbing the beauty of nature. The energy of positive intention and collaboration is key, because when your intention shifts, your energy shifts. Now, from a speaker standpoint, on a larger scale, I mean, I've often seen public speakers who shift from educating their audience to ending their talk with a closing sale type offer. And my colleague, Karen McGregor, talks about this in one of her talks as well, as she trains speakers. As their intention shifts, so does their energy. And so often this is what results in losing their audience, in essence, because, you know, we're smart people. We can pick up these subtle signals that something's now shifted, and often it feels uncomfortable and very different. So paying attention to energy. The other piece I wanted to bring forward was in Chapter 6, talking about sharing harmonious words for a happy home. And this whole question that comes up, I mean, Christine referenced being well aware of waking up at 30 and at 40. And I think many of us have gone through this, you know, is this all there is to life question, especially when we have a birthday with a big zero on it. And also the question, particularly for women, am I enough? And I've heard this question comes up for many, many women, especially as we deepen gradually our awareness. And especially when we wake up from a corporate mindset, perhaps of living, you know, one paycheck to another and being led by success measured primarily by either a bank balance or something that is something that's external to ourselves, then when we focus on our internal awareness, you know, a whole new world opens up. When you value yourself based on intrinsic motivators, you're doing something for pleasure, rather than extrinsic measures,
which is where you're receiving an external reward or outcome to, often it's to avoid punishment, your perspective on your own self-worth shifts. So my question to leave you with today to ponder is it time for you to stop doubting yourself, to step up, step out with more confidence? And if so, you'll benefit from committing to a daily powerful inner reflection, exploring the things about yourself that you love, perhaps those behaviors that you're not really proud of, you know, your shadow side, and reflecting and considering, what have you learned about yourself so far? Where are you feeling that there is untapped capacity? Where do you have even more potential to live into and experience even more of a joy-filled and purposeful life? And if you feel, you know, pay attention to your body, right? If you feel a ripple of emotion in your body, and your stomach fluttering and your heart pounding, or you get a lump in your throat as I'm talking, take these feelings as signs of your potential readiness to expand. It may be a signal to desire, you know, to advocate passionately for a cause that energizes you, or maybe take a stand for an injustice that you see occurring in the world. You know, a lump in your throat could indicate blocked energy and a desire to speak up about something that's buried deeply inside you. So I encourage you to take the time to reflect. Sit with these feelings. Create some space in your day. Allow each day time to deepen your awareness, to ask your soul what it really wants to show you right now. And very often it is showing you through your emotions. Now, emotions are often triggered by other people. So when you notice a specific behavior in someone else that you don't like, often you're seeing that behavior in them for a purpose. And when it triggers an emotional response in you, this is very often your soul knowing deep inside that you also express that same behavior at times. And if you don't like seeing it expressed by others, you likely know you need to work on changing that behavior for yourself. So we're all made up of energy. Energy cannot be removed from the universe. However, it can be transmuted from negative energy to positive energy. And I love the work of Michael Brown in his book, The Presence Process, who also believes that when something is causing pain, very often that pain is a cause of having unintegrated emotional energy around the situation. And until the energy is integrated, that same situation will keep reoccurring over and over again. So such a lovely interview today with Christine. I'm delighted that she was able to join me. And I'm going to invite you to step into something as well. So I have a program starting called Wisdom Circles. And Wisdom Circles is a new program. It's tailored specifically for women, and it's combining one-on-one as well as group coaching, mentoring, masterminding. So it's a combination of different experiences drawn from my deep business experience to support you to jump to the next level, to jumpstart that level of expansion. And I'm putting together groups of 10 in the Wisdom Circles, so carefully selecting and choosing based on desired growth, your ability to enhance each other's experience. So it does have a limited group size, and it is by application only. So I'm going to post the link into the Facebook page where you saw this advert for the radio show, and invite you to consider, are you ready for significant expansion in your confidence in particular and in your perspectives? Because just like you'll see in the picture, every pair of shoes in your closet is different. So my custom program is really designed to enable every woman to elevate her confidence and success in business even further and ultimately have this sustainable business that's fun, whether you're working for yourself, working with your team, or whether you're working as a corporate leader and building out your particular teamwork and philosophy. So it's got to be fun. Fun because it's got more clients, it's got an engaged team, and you're living on purpose. So the link will be through the Facebook page, and there's only 10 spaces in each group. So I invite you to consider if you're ready for growth, and one-on-one coaching is a perhaps for you right at this moment in time, to consider joining one of my wisdom circles. It's been a pleasure serving you today. I'm so glad that you have tuned in to the Words, Women, and Wisdom show. And we're going to leave with another piece of music.